Thank you. The cats are an animal that's forced on me by my wife. They're not a voluntary creature in my life. So within that, it's great to be back here at Grace. I have actually missed you guys. I have always enjoyed being here with you. And my wife wasn't able to make it over here. She's still stuck in Melbourne. She's complaining because it's a warm day over there. It's about 35 degrees and she's dying from the heat. Normally it's freezing cold there. So it is great to be back here where there is a bit of sunshine. I am enjoying the west, but got to go back tomorrow. So it's my privilege to be here with you guys. Also, we are planting a Messianic Jewish congregation in Melbourne, right in the Jewish community. And so it's called Tikvat Shalom, the hope of peace. And so they also want to bring greetings to you as well. But I want to bring to you today a biblical concept there of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to go through the scriptures. I'm going to start in Acts chapter 2, a very familiar passage, and often the starting place for the church teaching on the Holy Spirit. Where it says there in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the festival of Pentecost arrived and all the believers gathered together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from the sky like the roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And that they saw what looked like tongues of fire which separated and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in different languages, different tongues, as the Spirit enabled them to speak. And Abba, Father, we ask, help us to understand your word, that we might be livers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a day of Pentecost, a day where the Holy Spirit births and empowers the church, dated on this day. But so many times as we start at this place, we miss the foundation of what this verse is standing upon. And what I want to do is take you as a trip through the scriptures that you can understand who is the Holy Spirit and what is the work of the Holy Spirit and what the work was doing at this day of Pentecost back then. You might say, how important is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit, whether you realize it or not, is actually the first member of the Trinity who's revealed to us. Not Jesus, not the Father, but actually the Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 says there, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says the earth was without form and it was void and darkness on the face of the deep. In other words, as scholars call it, it was a time of chaos. There was there, but yet not there. Had potential, but hadn't been realized yet. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the water. And after that, we hear about the work of the Holy Spirit transforms chaos into order. That's the work of the Holy Spirit back then and still in us today. That's why the Holy Spirit's called the Lord and the giver of life. To transform and overflow of everything. Take the chaos and make it into order, where we as humans could then be birthed and serve as God's covenant partners. Some of you today might think your life is in a chaos. I don't know if you've noticed and read the news, but the world is certainly in a chaos. It's in an absolute crisis. So many parts of the world are in absolute hotspots. We hear about a war in one or two places, but there's so many countries now that are either in war or about to go into war or coming out of war and the effects of war. So the Holy Spirit wants to work in our world as much as what he did all the way back then. Now, because of the work of the Holy Spirit there in Genesis, now order comes into that chaos, and now humanity can exist as God's covenant partner. If you have chaos in your life, you need an encounter with the Holy Spirit, because none of what you do can transform your life around. If you try to fix your life, you end up making a bigger mess of it. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit to get involved, to fix up the brokenness of our lives. By the way, the New Testament has an echo of this verse. where in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, an angel answered and said to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you." And it's doing a direct echo of this passage here, going to transform Mary's life into being that of a mother, of which she will then birth Jesus coming out of there. Moving on from this, Genesis chapter 2, we read that God creates humanity from out of the dust of the earth, but it's standing there as basically a terracotta bean. Remember all those terracotta soldiers that have been discovered there in China, just standing there, made out of clay, but no life in them. So what's the Holy Spirit do? It says there, God breathed into his nostril the breath, the ruach of life. And the man, the human, became a living being. The Holy Spirit transforms clay into being God's covenant partner. That's what God likes to do with us. Transforms us as being a bunch of clay, empty shell of a person, into being his covenant partner. I go through ministry and I've seen so many people, as I used to be, so totally empty on the inside. Just a shell. Sometimes a broken shell, sometimes a shell full of chaos within them. And they wonder, where can hope be found? They look for hope in all the wrong places. There's only one place hope can be found, and that is in the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, who we obtain through Jesus. And he can transform our world. This is also echoed in John chapter 20. When Jesus breathes, echoes that creative transforming work of the Holy Spirit to transform basically a ragtag group of dysfunctional followers. You ever looked at Jesus' disciples before the work of the Holy Spirit hits them and think, oh my goodness, Jesus, why did you call them? I've asked, anybody else ever asked that? And then I look in the mirror and I see this person looking back and I say, oh Jesus, why would you call? It's the work of the Holy Spirit, folks. It's not us, it's what God does through us. And it says there that Jesus breathed on his disciples so that they would receive the Holy Spirit. Again, a direct echo what happened back there at creation. And he transforms this ragtag army of followers into being the army of God to go out and transform the world. I was talking to Pastor Aaron before and saying how that it's believed that the Apostle Thomas, who also was breathed on there with the power of the Holy Spirit, didn't just go through to India, but went all the way through even into China with the gospel. So China heard the gospel firsthand from one of the apostles. Again, transforming the world from that of basically dysfunctional into being God's army. I want to say to you, understand, the Holy Spirit does not have junk around him. God doesn't have broken around him. God takes the junk and transforms it. God takes the broken and transforms it. Takes the dysfunctional and transforms it. That's the power of the Holy Spirit to take with this world breaks and fixes it so it's better than what it's ever been before. We need to recognize his work in our lives. I want to move on quickly. So many places I could stop, and each one of these I could drill down and give a whole message on each one of these, but I'm just so frustrated at times because I've got to step over so much. Moving on, humans do the dumb thing. Who's ever done a dumb thing in your life? Who's ever done the same dumb thing you promised God you'd never do again? It's me again. Yeah, God. You know that thing I said I wouldn't do again? Yeah, I've done it. Over and again. Humanity, why do we do this? And they radically disobeyed God, and the flood came back. The water chaos came back again. See, it wasn't that God abandoned the humans. The humans abandoned God. If you're in a crisis in your life and you just don't see God moving in your life and you don't know what's happening in your life, you're saying, God, what's going on? God didn't move. If you want to find the fault, find the mirror. There's the problem right there, because we are the one that keeps, again, talking to Pastor Aaron before, I was talking to the students in college, and I still do this in leadership training, and say we are all of us, myself included, pastor included, his wife is perfect, but the rest of us, you know, we're all one choice away from stuffing it up. Watch our heart. And they do the dumb thing. The water, chaos, returns back again. But it says in Genesis chapter 8, we have the symbol of the dove as the Holy Spirit here. That Noah waited 7 more days and then set out the dove again from the ark. And when the dove returned to him in the evening, there was freshly plucked olive leaf in his beak. Noah knew the water had receded from the earth. In other words, God's creative power was working again, and already with mature trees, were even with the olive branch there already from the floodwaters. The flood of chaos overturned and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is the God of the second chance. Some people get upset over that statement. No, I've found God the God of the third chance, the fourth chance. God can come along and he can take whatever has gone wrong in our lives and he can rebuild it. See, it doesn't matter what you've done. No matter how bad what you've done, God can transform that into his glory. It also doesn't matter what's been done to you, because God can transform that into his glory. Because he loves taking the broken and showing you his grace, his power of transformation to show you the healed product. His love knows no bound and can overcome all that we have done. I don't know if you've where you're at today in your world, but God wants to touch your world and transform your world so you can be one with him. No longer the shell, the brokenness, whatever, but in his covenant partner. That's what he's called us to be. Again, jumping over, but going into Genesis chapter 15, a great covenant takes place there. God has called Abram and made promises to Abram, but really, up until this point, not much has happened. And in Genesis chapter 15, Abram cries out, "Where and when will we have those promised descendants and land? When's it going to happen?" So God tells him to make this covenant where they cut the animals in half, and as they walk down the covenant pieces, they make promises to each other. It's called a covenant of strong friendship. God doesn't let Abram walk the peace, because if you break the promises that you make when you walk through these covenant pieces, the penalty is that you are also cut in half to make up for the animals that have been died for that covenant. So God knows humanity, and he knows, yeah, we're going to break the promise. So he protects us from ourselves. But God, who does not break promises, walked down through those covenant pieces in the form of the Holy Spirit in two forms. One, that of a smoking oven, verse 17 says, which is a cloud, and a burning torch, which is like a fire. So a cloud and a fire passes between those covenant pieces, and as passing through the covenant pieces, the voice from heaven comes out and declares that you will have descendants. You'll have a lot of them. They will go down into a nation, and they'll be kept captive there for 400 years, but I will bring them out after those 400 years. God spoke through the fire. God spoke through the cloud, and he gives that promise of land and descendants to do that. The Holy Spirit transforms promises into action, transforms the fulfillment. There may be some of you here today, you've had promises from God, and you've probably cried out, "God, when is this going to happen?" God's saying, "Patience, I will do it." We have to trust the Holy Spirit's work and don't rush it. I think I heard a person say a minute ago, don't rush the work of the Holy Spirit. Because if we rush it, we tend to make a mess of it. So let's wait on the Holy Spirit, because when he does it in his time, what a glorious promise fulfillment it is. Now, what I'm going to say to you is watch the bouncing ball from this point onwards of the fire and the cloud. The fire and the cloud. We're going to quickly whip through some history here. And the fire and the cloud comes back after 430 years to those in the land of Egypt, and it wasn't Moses that led them out. Moses is following the same thing everybody else is following, and that's the fire and the cloud. Now, why didn't they run away from the fire and the cloud? Because they knew what God had promised Father Abram with the fire and the cloud. they were able to join the dots together and say, this is that which appeared to our father Abram, to say that he will lead us out in the fire and the cloud, in the same fire and cloud that he promised our father Abram. So they were willing to follow the fire and the cloud. Because I can tell you, if I'm out in the desert, and I've been out in the desert, and a fire all of a sudden appears in front of me and starts talking to me like it did with Moses, like it does with Israel, I'm running the other way. Because that's freaky. Israel says, same thing, this is what was promised to our fathers, off we go. And the fire and the cloud led them out, not as slaves, but now as the army of God. So transform slaves into freedom, slaves into being the army of God, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, just as promised those years ago in Genesis chapter 15 to Abram. Now, understand God is a covenant-making God, a covenant-keeping God, a promise-making God, a promise-keeping God. He wants to fulfill the promises and he wants to transform you from whatever bondage you might be facing, whatever limits you find in your life, whatever you're experiencing, so that you can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants to take you and help you to walk in the power of his Spirit. Not that you'll never have problems, just you'll have his power getting through the problems. Those people who preach that if you become a believer, you'll never have another problem. Really? I had less problems as a non-believer. But boy, I've got power to get through the problems today. Amen? Going quickly, the Holy Spirit leads them through the wilderness and takes them to Mount Sinai. And there on Mount Sinai, calls Moses up the top to give him the word of God. And on the top of that mountain, it declares that the cloud and the fire descended on that mountain. And in the midst of that fire and cloud, they are transformed from being the slaves now into being God's bride. In Jewish tradition and even in biblical words, Israel now becomes the bride of God there at Sinai. So when you talk about the New Testament, about the bride of Christ, it wasn't a foreign thing. They understood what it meant because Israel becomes bride of Christ at that day of Pentecost, correct? This is the first Pentecost for Israel. This at Mount Sinai by the Jewish calendar is the first Pentecost. So the first Pentecost is directly related to that Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. They are tied together. He gives them his word. Now, why did he give them the word? Because in Jewish tradition, you have a wedding contract. I have what's called a ketubah. I met my, those of you who know me, know I lost my first wife sadly back in 2016. God did a miracle. I met my second wife when I was living in Israel. And we got married in Israel, on the hills of Israel in 2019. And it was a Messianic Jewish wedding. And we have this big ketubah, a wedding contract above our bed. It'll say what she will do for me, what I will do for her, and what we will do together. And how God fits into our world. It's all written up there. And more than once, we're pointed to that thing to remind each other. Mainly she's pointing to remind me. Anyway, the Bible is actually God's wedding contract to his people. What he will do, what we will do, and what together will take place. God wants you intimately involved in his world, and he wants to be intimately involved in your world to transform you into being his covenant partner. The land of Israel is actually God's wedding gift to his bride. That's why from the very beginning, they try to destroy and steal away God's gift of the land to his people Israel that takes place to this very day. You might see on the news occasionally, which we see a lot in Melbourne, because in Melbourne and Sydney, the Messianic and Jewish communities over there, we've had 600% increase in persecution since the terrorist attack on 7th of October. The chance of from the river to the sea means actually the total eradication of Israel and of every Jewish person. So when you see those chants, they are chants of violence. So from that day to this day, we find those coming through. The Holy Spirit, folks, wants again to transform you out of chaos, out of a mess, out of bondage, out of struggle, and make you into his bride, his covenant bride, that you will be his covenant partner to do the work and the walk in him that he's called you to do and called you to be. He wants a personal encounter with you. The question is that we have to ask all of ourselves, do we want that personal encounter with the Holy Spirit? That's the bigger one. The Spirit transforms a tent into being God's house. The Holy Spirit comes into that tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle is just a tent. In fact, the main part of the tabernacle is the same size as anybody else's family tent. It wasn't a big glorious one like they made in those structures down in Egypt. God says, no, my house, I just want the same house you've got. But he takes that tent and the Holy Spirit comes in, enters that tent with the cloud covering over the tabernacle and the settling on it and the glory or the Shekinah. By Jewish tradition, the fire of God comes in and fills the tabernacle. And the cloud led them and the fire was there in the cloud at night and led them both in worship and in their journey. Folks, if you want to truly worship God, you can only do that truly in the power of the Holy Spirit. The fire of God within and the cloud over means you are under God's canopy. You are under his tabernacle, the realm within there. And he takes and transforms the tent into being God's house. The power of God filled in there so much Moses couldn't even enter in because of the glory of God within there. The glory means Shekinah or the fire of God, the presence of God. And then Exodus chapter 25, verse 22 tells us that finally the Holy Spirit rests above the Ark of the Covenant in fire, the Shekinah glory. 1 Kings chapter 8 tells us that when the temple is dedicated, the Temple of Solomon is dedicated, the glory of God comes down so much the priests couldn't stand. Falling down under the power of the Spirit is not a New Testament thing. Happened all the way back there when they dedicated the temple. They're down under the power of the Spirit back in there. God wants to transform you through the power of the Holy Spirit as being the place where he lives. To take again your home and make it the place where he lives. People should be able to walk into your home and stop inside the door. Wow, I feel God's presence here. Or in your workplace or wherever you are in your presence, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit here with you. That's what the transforming work of the Holy Spirit is. But remember what we said before? Humans do the dumb thing. Humans kept doing the dumb thing. And unfortunately, while Israel worshipped the Lord God, they also worshipped other gods. I don't know if you ever heard of a great Christian author called A.W. Tozer. If you are a masochist, you'll really enjoy A.W. Tozer because he does hit you pretty hard. I encourage you to read him. Become that masochist. A great line he said there, it's not that people don't love God, it's just they love other things more than God. And you think, wow, that hits hard. But the Holy Spirit now has no option. But because the people rejected him, he says, okay, you've rejected me from being in my own house, so I'm leaving the house, but I'm sending you to Babylon, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to Babylon ahead of you. So God left the house because he was driven out of the house. So now the house of God turns back into just being an empty building. That's why the Babylonians could destroy the house of God, because God wasn't in the house. Left and gone away. So again, God's house, by the way, his temple is often called God's house. Understand, it's not that the Holy Spirit doesn't want to walk with us. It's often we don't want to walk with the Holy Spirit because it's a bit harder than not walking with the Holy Spirit. Takes a bit of cost within there. The good news is, out there in Babylon, Israel repents. God returns his people back into the land, back into Jerusalem. The second temple is rebuilt. We read about that in Ezra and Nehemiah. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. Except there is a problem. There's no record of the Holy Spirit returning back into that second temple. They have all the form, all the function. Everything's going on, but no presence of the Holy Spirit. Israel believes they are incomplete until God returns the Holy Spirit. And then became this teaching that we find in the scriptures and also extra-biblical Jewish writings where the one who will return the Spirit back to Israel will be the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, he will be the one who return the Holy Spirit back to Israel. We would say in the Christian church, the proof of Jesus being the Messiah, the death, burial, resurrection. The Jewish people said, yay, you're missing out on something. And that is who's going to return the Ruach, the Spirit, back to the people. That's the evidence also of being the Messiah. So there's that thought, there's that theology amongst there. He will return the Spirit back in. We go into John's work, and he wrote this book, John chapter 14, verse 16. He says, I'm checking out, Jesus says, but I'm sending you the Parakletos. How do you translate Parakletos? Some of your Bibles will have comforter, helper, teacher, whatever. A better way to translate the word in our culture of Parakletos is the empowerer, the one who will empower you to do what? Whatever you need to do. He will empower you. And that's why Jesus breathes at the end of John's gospel upon them to receive the Holy Spirit. Why Jesus prophesied there in Acts chapter 1 verse 5 and instructs them, God immersed with water, but in a few days you will be immersed with the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then it says Jesus went up in the air in a cloud. There's the cloud, folks. But where's the fire? He goes in the cloud, but where's the fire? Thank you for asking. We go into the Acts chapter 2, and there we find the fire. Because now the fire comes, because I am sending you the Holy Spirit. How do we know Jesus is Messiah? Death, burial, resurrection, absolutely. But also, he is the one who returns the Holy Spirit back to Israel. How do we know Jesus is the Messiah for us? Because we encounter the Holy Spirit through Jesus. Without Jesus, you cannot encounter the Holy Spirit. Without Jesus, you cannot walk in the Spirit. You cannot move in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes through the ministry work of Jesus. If you don't have the work of Jesus to bring your Savior, your Redeemer, your coming King, you can't have the work of the Holy Spirit. First one, then the other. And the power of the Holy Spirit comes in. And we read before, the sound comes in. By the way, the sound echoes what very happened at that first Pentecost down there at Mount Sinai. Now we are at a place called Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. And the power of the Holy Spirit comes again. Now that comes in, verse 3, what they saw, what looked like tongues of fire, separated, came to rest on them. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you know that? Because they began to talk in different languages or tongues as the Spirit enabled them to speak. And again, one of the miracles that's so often missed, as they're talking to God, giving praises to God in that inner Trinitarian conversation with God, with the Holy Spirit praying through them to God, giving praises to God, all those nations around listening to this said, whoa, I hear them speaking in my language. I hear them speaking in my language. Now, I hear them speaking in my language. They weren't evangelizing them. They were worshiping God in tongues, and everybody could understand it, even in their own language, to know those people aren't crazy. We understand what they're saying because they're worshiping God. Now we have evidence the power of the Holy Spirit's in them, proving Jesus actually is fully 100% the Messiah. Transforms the followers of Jesus now, as I said, a bit of a ragtag bunch of followers, into being now a new army of God, into now being the bride of Christ. As at the first Sinai, they became the bride of God. Here at this Pentecost, they become the bride of Christ. Transformed their world into being the fullness of God, what God wants. No longer the Holy Spirit on the outside, but now the Holy Spirit on the inside. Transforming us from the inside out. Flowing out from us into our world. Having that God conversation. transforming the people into being living holy of holies, falling down. There's a couple of photos, or the one here in the middle, of the southern steps outside the city, outside the Temple Mount area in Jerusalem. Up above in the old days would have been those Solomon porticos on the outside around there, where all the different teachers met in what they call houses in there. So it talks about the house that they were sitting in is there in the temple, the same place where the Holy Spirit departed from out of the Holy of Holies, where only one high priest once a year got to encounter God, but in that of Ezekiel, departed out from there, now publicly comes back to the temple, where everybody can see who's watching around, but now not to go back into the Holy of Holies, a building made by hands, but now to make a new Holy of Holies made by the hand of God. Transforming us into being an army of God, transforming us into being that bride of Christ, transforming us into being that there as a new temple, transforming us into being a new Holy of Holies. You don't have to go for your friends to go all the way to Jerusalem to have an encounter with God. All they have to do is go to you, because you're God's answer for the world around you, for your transformation to happen in you from your inside out, so then you can influence and transform the world around you. You might think you live in a crazy world. You might think you haven't seen my family yet. That's fine. God put you there so that you can be the transformational answer of God into your family. And it says there, as Peter had said, what shall we do to be saved? It says, repent, let each one of you be immersed in the name of Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, for the removal of your sin, and you'll receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. By the way, at the bottom of these southern steps, you probably can't see clearly in there, they've found 150 plus, they're still discovering him, baptismal pools in there. So that have rushed straight down those very steps you see there into those baptismal pools, and the power of the Holy Spirit fell on over 3,000 that day. God wants to transform us. God wants to change us. That's why it says there in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, if the Spirit of Him, that's the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. And it says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, do you not know? Don't you understand? Don't you get it? Don't you realize that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Because of my studies in the book of Ezekiel and stuff I've published in that, also living in Israel, so many people come up and say, when's the third temple going to be built? I say, simple, it already has been. Where's the third temple? I say, I'm looking at it. You're it. Why? Because the temple was only the temple. The house of God was only the house of God because of the presence of the Spirit within. The presence of the Spirit is not in this building. The presence of the Holy Spirit is in you. You brought the Holy Spirit into this room with you. And the good news is you'll take the Holy Spirit out of this room with you into your world to transform your world. First transform you and then transform your world. That's the work of God. One final verse. I said we'll walk through the scriptures. We started in Genesis 1 and we finished in at the end in Revelation 22. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city, that's Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, each fruit for each month, yielding fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for what? Healing of the nations. Now, he's echoing here Genesis 1. He's also echoing here of Ezekiel 47, where it talks about the river to flow out from the throne of God. And a few years ago, we had that teaching that went around the Pentecostal church that goes up to your ankle, goes up to your knees, goes up to your hips, and goes up. And then you go, so jump in the river of God and swim around in the river of God. You remember that teaching that went around? I did not like that teaching. I got frustrated with that teaching. Because it's not a river that we get in and splash around for our own enjoyment. What it is, they miss the point, is you are the river of God. You don't jump in the river of God, you be the river of God. You are God's answer to all the crises and brokenness and problems of the world around you. You are the river of God. You start off paddling around, learning how to do things. You know, you might say, turn the tap on a little bit. You become an annoying, dripping tap at first. And later you learn how to flow a bit more, flow more, until you become a mighty rushing river of healing to the nations around you. So whatever the crisis is in your world that you are facing, you're the answer. Because God wants to flow through you as that river of living water that Jesus spoke about and recorded in John chapter 38. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And he spoke of this concerning the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you've got to turn the tap on and let it come flowing out of you. Sometimes we stop that and we block it up. Folks, let the Spirit flow through. Start as a trickle. But you are the anointed river of God. You are the one to bring healing to the nation around you. The supernatural should be natural to the believer. We should be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you know if you're walking in the Spirit? I love the banner over there. Walk in the Spirit. How do you know you're walking in the Spirit? Because you're seeing the transformation power of the Holy Spirit happening around you in your world. That's what he wants you to do. Can we ask for the praise team to come back again, please? What we have to do, folks, is get up and do it. All we have to do is take that step of faith. So often we hold back because we're afraid of what people say, what people think. Now, I am a diesel mechanic by trade. And if you want to have a test of your faith, try being a pastor at the same time being a diesel mechanic to survive like I did up in Kalgoorlie in the mining industry. That can challenge your faith. But the one thing I know that I've found is if you're bold in your faith, although they'll give you a hard time, they will respect you with some things. I still ride motorbikes. People have asked me, where's my motorbike? I couldn't ride it from Melbourne. Very upset about that. But I hang out with some bikers who are very unsafe people. But they know that I'm a pastor and they don't give me a hard time about it. But whenever they're going through a hard time, they come up and they put in a word with the big boy in the sky for me, would you? Because this is what's going on. They know where to come for prayer, and your people around you need to know where to come as well. Will you stand with me, please? I'm going to close now and hand back to Pastor Aaron. But I want to have the opportunity, if possible, to pray for some of you, that you can have a greater release of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. I don't know what's going on with you at the moment. Some of you may be feeling broken. Some of your life around you might be broken, the chaos around you. The Holy Spirit wants to come today, touch you, and bring a transformation within you. And to be the empowerer within you, to bring transformation to the craziness around you, both in your life and that around you. So as we close and we sing, feel free, come down the front here. Take that bold step, because sometimes we've got to be bold. Don't sit back and passive. Oh, well, if the Lord wants to, he will. No, we've got to step out. We've got to make that step of faith and activate the walk into the Holy Spirit. The walk of the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's a walk out here. So we can pray for you. The prayer team is here. And pray for whatever crisis you are facing. Because I believe today the Holy Spirit wants to show he can transform. Transform you, transform your world around you. So Lord, I pray put in the hearts of everyone here. Touch them, fill them, empower them. Transform them so they can be your transforming agent out in the world around you. And Lord, let them have that boldness to step out in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need prayer, come down here. I'm happy to pray for you and be with you. Thank you.